This is going to be study 103 of our ongoing study that we started a couple of years ago, I guess now, and realized that we called it the wisdom study. And then we added Jack's Workman's Interlinear to it. And when we got into the last seven books of that, but we did a good bit of basic work to begin with, to start off with, and looking at the word wisdom and dealing with some of that down through the weeks and months that we did it. But this study, as I said, 103, and this is the fourth day of August 2021. And for today's timeline, and we're going to start with verse 9 in Colossians 3. Now, verses 1 through 9 dealt with our calling as being risen with Christ, and it dealt with the putting off of the old man and the rule of that as we went along. And we liked one verse getting through that particular part of it, and then we're going to talk 9, 10, and 11 for sure, I guess, tonight. I don't know how far we'll get along, but anyway. And then if you put off something, you generally put on something. So that's the way it's dealing with here. And so we'll do 9 first. And remember, as we get going here, the Paul is writing this back to those in Colossae, and it's those that he's never met face to face. And what he has got now from God in this dispensation is mystery truth, and the mystery truth was open to whoever. To Jew, Gentile, free or slave or Scythian or
bond or free,
Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, or whatever, whatever you're called by other folks, I guess. And so it was open to the world, as we say. And so we need to remember that as we go along and read what's here, because some of this stuff that Paul is going back over again, he went and laid it down basically in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and also in Romans. Quite a lot of it was put forth there. But again, Scripture testifies of itself. And so here we are. And so I'm going to do it as we've been doing it. We'll read King James Version or out of the Companion Bible, and then I'll read my notes, and then we'll read what Jake said about it. So that's gives us a pretty good overview of what we're talking about here and how now that we're supposed to see this and understand it. And so we're looking at Colossians 3:9. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds." And so we understand here that There's no place in the Word of God and teaching the Word of God for lies. It is all needs to be truth. Lie not. And in my notes I said this, this is the basis of Satan's existence and his manner of corruption. The lie was Satan's, because there is no lie in God. It's truth. There's no lie in the Godhead. All that's truth. But the lie come from the other will, as Ronnie puts it. And there's two wills. And there was the will of God, the Godhead, and there was the will of Satan. And so Satan's existence there and his manner of doing things is the lie and corruption. So it says, lie not one to another. So when you go back and you look at that, one to another, do not use the basic tool of Satan. There's no point in it. There's just, it's no good. You're not going to get anywhere with other people if you use it for part of your testimony. It just don't work. It's never worked, and it never will work, because that's not what God wants us to do. It says seeing, and you can add to that, and hearing, that you have put off or put away the old man, which is your past conversation or your past life, with its deeds. And that's pretty straightforward talk. So lie not one to another, say that you put off the old man with his deeds. The old man, that's just part of the lie. That's part of what we were born with. And so when we get over to the Koine Greek, in verse 9, it goes like this, not to lie unto one another, having put off the old man with the deeds of him. And then you bring it on down to the more modern English, as we see some of it used in the King James Version. Lie not to one another, having put off the old man with his deeds, like it was written there. So, and then Jack's notes are this. Satan's entire mantra is the lie. This is when he says, I will, I will, I will, I will, and I will. This is what he chose to take up. That's his matter. He has propagated a complete system of error to foist upon humanity. So you see, we begin our lives with this situation, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Says, for the believer to participate in this practice is anti-God. Certainly the head would never direct his members to lie. That's for sure. Lying is considered a staple of the old life of sin. And Jack put in his notes that many consider it an honor to live by wits. You know, man, he likes to feel like that he can live on his own. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need God. And he can live by his wits, by thinking he's smart.
That's that pride.
And the new man in Christ, the head, Jack says, has no such nostrum. And so in that case, the lie must go. And so we've got one verse of scripture that we need to go back and look at here. And that's Ephesians 4:25. So turn back with me a few pages. And we'll go to Ephesians 4:25. And that's on page 1767 if you have a companion Bible. And it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Full stop. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. That is a subject to live by. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And how many times have we heard that more modern times we talk about, well, it takes a community to raise a child. And it does, basically, because, you know, we all get the same start. But guess what? We don't want to do it with the basis of any lies. We want it to be the truth. To raise up our children with truth. And that's what we need to do. And certainly, it makes it much easier to come to this knowledge of the mystery if you don't have a wagon full of lies that you've been brought up with. And I certainly benefited from that because of my grandmother's teaching. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that now. And so I thank the Lord for that wonderful time that I certainly felt lonely in my life because I was separated from my brother and my mother. And I lived with Dad, and he was in and out, gone a lot of the times. But my grandmother and grandfather, they fit into that slot that was left in my life there, and I'll never forget that. Verse 10 says this, and having put on the new man, see, we're going now, there's a slight little space in this chapter of Colossians here between 9 and 10, which gives you the understanding that in the way that it's laid out, something now has changed a little bit. So here we go. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And there again is another full stop. So let's see what's here that is really, really important, because the verse that we just read didn't have a full stop to it, but this one does. So there is a great need to have put on something. And let's see what it is. Put on the new man. Okay. The new man. Put on Christ and the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, which is renewed. And if you're going to be renewed, you have to, as I said, you have to kind of unload your wagon. And it can be your life, because believing God and believing what God teaches and what God says just don't go with what you had before. So So if you've got a pile of that on before and you don't turn it loose, guess what? You're going to be in a lot of confusion. And so, talking about the new man putting on Christ with an indwelling Holy Spirit, which is renewed or charged with power to direct in knowledge, and how to use that knowledge. So what God has given to the Apostle Paul is giving to us, and he says it can be used in power, and certainly the Holy Spirit directs us in wisdom and knowledge, because wisdom and knowledge is two different things. You can have wisdom to know how to do something, but knowledge is how that it's used and what it's used properly for. You ever thought about that for a minute? That's the reason the Lord tells us through His Word that we need to get our mind and we need to get our heart together and allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. That's why it's there for us.
Amen.
And it's to keep us straight and to show us how to use it the way that God wills us to use it. And it didn't, there's no room there for the lie. You can forget that. You can put that away. Because in all these things, and all the things that we talked about in the last two or three studies, you know, about mortifying our members that's upon the earth, this fornication, uncleanness, you know, this ungodly affection that we hold on to, and this, the evil things and the covetousness and all the things that go along with it. They are just a myriad of things. Ron and I talked about it a week or two ago that there's a great study there if we would get all these words together, put them in a list, and go down the list and say, okay, this goes to this group, this goes to this group, this goes to this group. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit can do for us.
Amen.
In that situation. Knowledge and how to use it. After the image or the pattern of Him that created him. Now, we was in Ephesians, in our last verse, we were in Ephesians 4:25, but now let's go back, or we will, when we read what Jack says here, we'll go back to Ephesians 4:24. I should have told you to keep your finger there, but I forgot about doing that. So, when we look in the Koine Greek, and I can't read Koine Greek, but I can read it as it's brought down into the English somewhat. And having put on the new, and being that being renewed. Well, if you put on something new, then it means that there's been a change took place. And the Koine Greek says that being renewed unto acknowledgement. Unto the acknowledgement according to image of the created Him, of the Son of God. And having, into the more modern English, and having put on the new, that being renewed unto acknowledgement according to the image of Him that created.
So knowledge is what he's saying, I think, is knowledge or further knowledge. Because the people, I think, people of Colossae knew of the kingdom grafting in, certainly. Right. But this is talking about being renewed in a new knowledge.
New knowledge. In a different knowledge.
I mean, I know it just generically says knowledge, but knowledge of what?
Yeah.
And what is it that renews that new man? That new man gets renewing every time you discover something new in Scripture.
And Paul was teaching to put away the old stuff, to put away the things that he had given to Israel.
Everything that had passed.
And mm-hmm. to push it back and to take on this new understanding. So that's the renewing, if you will, to live away all these things that man had added to God's Word and to look at it that way. Now, Jack says this in his notes. The new man must be put on. That is, even though the work of salvation has been accomplished, the believer must consciously and with purpose set about living as his Savior and head would wish. You know, I think this is something that the church, ordinary religion, worship, they teach and preach salvation. That's basically
over and over and over and over and over again.
That,
yeah,
that's the deal for them.
Not that that's
not that it's bad, mm-hmm. but it doesn't give you growth. It doesn't give you. You know, you got wisdom to understand that, but it doesn't give you the knowledge that you need to deal with it yourself, and people pay somebody to tell other people what they should be telling them themselves.
Yep.
And this is what one of the things that changed.
And they wonder why so many that join and stay for a few months and don't ever grow in the grace of knowledge, wonder why they get disillusioned and up and leave.
And they, you don't know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where they are.
Oftentimes with a bad impression.
Yeah. So Jack says his acknowledgement of this fact and his constant learning of God's Word will fashion this believer. Fashion is a good word there. To make again. You know, if you fashion something, you're not using something old out of
it's like you used to take the, like you used to take, I used to watch you take them old straight half inch by eighth inch pieces of metal and put them in that ornamental pattern, and we'd hook it in there and then bend it around and you make them scrolls.
Yeah.
Well, that's fashioning.
Yeah. That changed.
You took a straight piece of metal and made an ornamental piece of metal.
Yeah, that changed the picture of it. And fashion this believer after the image of his Creator. So you see, you know, knowledge goes along with the workman. You can have wisdom of something, but not have the knowledge of how to do it. But that's what the Holy Spirit helps us with. Not only does the Holy Spirit interpret our prayers, that God hears what the Holy Spirit knows that God wants to hear by interpreting what we say to Him, but also to give us this ability to do these things that we might increase or strengthen these other believers into a hope that they may not yet have. Back to Ephesians 4. We read 25, and let's go back and read 24. Same page, 1767. You see, this was inverted here in Ephesians, talking about putting on the new man. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's putting on the new man. That's taking away the old, or doing away with the old, and forming it again after God, after the newness that is His through His Word. That should be easy enough to understand.
And that's why we're the sons of God, just like Adam was.
Yeah.
Because if you have this, because it literally talks there that that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yeah.
It's created.
Right.
And that's along the lines of Genesis 1.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
To give him something he didn't have before.
Yeah. Any being that has its own individual creation moment from God is a son of God.
Right. Okay, so we went through 9 and 10. And we're going to get 11. And 11 is kind of a telling thing, because I mentioned it a little bit before in the introduction. And 11 says this, talking about putting on the new man and renewing him through the will of God with the Holy Spirit, and it's after the image of him that created him. And as Adam was created, it said, let us create man in our image. And so now, as being adopted sons of God, we have that. We have that image, whether we know it or not. And if we're hid in, God, and God is, if we're hid in Christ, and Christ in God, then we're hidden away from Satan in that sense. Because we've now been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, as we understand it. And it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ in these last 7 books is always all in all, because he has paid the price for us all. And if we're going to be in him, certainly he is the all that we're in.
People today, with regard to Israel and who Israel is, would do themselves a big service to take this verse to heart.
Right.
You know, it's when, you know, I kind of got taken to task last week a little bit with our stand on where is Israel today, or who is Israel today.
Yeah.
And this verse, if you hold to right division, and the fact that Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy are all Paul's truth for today, then this verse should stand out and define for you what's up with Israel.
Yeah.
Because there is no Israel.
What the deal is.
Yeah. God's Israel is dead and in the dust.
Yeah.
They're awaiting their resurrection to a point where he will begin to deal with them again as a nation, but not today. Not until it happens. And it's not that difficult. I don't know. You know, either you, for me, you either believe that God can raise people from the dead, or you don't. If you do, then bringing Israel back out of the dust shouldn't be a problem for anybody. No,
absolutely not. Okay, it says in 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Read my notes. It says, where there, and this is Paul now, now the calling has gone out to all of the world's population to include anyone who will hear and see and begin to understand the work of Christ. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, and it can be all or any. Okay? Both now could come to believe this understanding. Also circumcision and nor uncircumcision. And this circumcision thing also does not apply now. We're putting on the new man. That was part of the old man. That was part of the understanding that God had chosen. Now we know with what God has left us with His Word, that we have been chosen also. Okay. So, circumcision or uncircumcision, that should not be a question anymore. Barbarian. We're going to look at talking about barbarian. And it's mentioned in Acts 28 too. On the island of Malta, after the loss of Paul and the ship that they were on the way to Rome, these people were Phoenicians. They were ungodly people. And this is also what the Greeks called those who did not speak Greek. If you did not speak Greek, and these were Phoenicians, they were barbarians.
Yeah, because Greek was so widespread and common in the world at that time.
Common, it was the common language. Whether it was common or whether it was the high Greek, it was still Greek. Okay. And this is what the Greek called those that did not speak Greek. And then Scythians also is mentioned here. Scythians are the lowest type of barbarians. And I want you to think about this for a minute. I might be wrong, and my notes might be wrong. But if it is, take it for what it's worth. Scythians, the lowest type of barbarians, and may contain descendants of Abraham's son by Hagar. Bible called them wild people. The Word of God said they were wild men, and that God was going to make princes out of them, 10 nations. These are the people, folks, where we depended upon our oil for all these years. They will kill you in a minute. Don't matter if you're a brother, a cousin, or a father, or who. They are murderers. We've seen it not on television, but it was just off the television. We've seen the man walk into the counseling over there, and they evidently took a saw and sawed him into little pieces and got rid of him.
He went into the building, but he didn't come out of the building.
Didn't come out of the building. So yeah. I guess that's a Scythian. And then take that for what it's worth. But they don't mind killing each other. I mean, life doesn't have very much meaning to them. It's just what they can get or what they can accomplish by themselves. Okay. It talks about bond no free. Talks about slaves, and there were a lot of slaves, and they were a lot of the Jews that were carried off into slavery in different parts of the country, in different places. You remember back in Acts 2, there were people there from every nation that was known then. Waiting on Pentecost.
And speaking the language of the area they were from.
Yeah, and Jesus told them as he rose, started to rise up back into heaven, he says, tarry ye here until the Comforter comes. And when the Comforter did come, that we call the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whichever you want to call it, it did the interpretation for all these people. And they were from all nations back in Jerusalem again, awaiting something. And this something was the Holy Spirit. To be indwelled in them. But it appeared to each of them as cloven tongues of fire over their head. But that's the power of God at work in these individuals, because they received that Spirit within. The Spirit was always with or upon, but now it's in. God, Son, made it possible through His blood to give us the indwelling Holy Spirit, our GPS, our God's perfect Son, indwells us through the Holy Spirit. And when we're no longer here, the Spirit leaves. Because whatever Christ needed of that person, you and me, because we're already considered to be dead people, He already has what He needs to give us life again. He is already holding us in safety. He has already done for us things that we could not do for ourselves over and over and over again. And He's taking care of this. And whether we're slaves of somebody else or whether we're free men, make up our own minds. We still need to live this godly life because it's Christ. He's all. And He is in all those that are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And all certainly can include everyone. But sadly, it doesn't. Because you've got to come to a point in your life that you believe. And that's our vocation. Mine and your vocation. What we need to live for is to tell others about this mysterion truth.
Amen.
And how it works. Because you can spend your entire life on learning all this. And that fills in the gap where the other people down the road somewhere in the brick building doesn't get it. because they hear the salvation message most all the time. But we can move on from that through the Holy Spirit's leadership. We can move on from that into these other things here that we're talking about. Okay, there's four places here that we need to look at. And it's all basically around those notes. I ain't turned my page yet. I guess I ought to read what Jack says. We're running my mouth. It says, out of the Koine, for not there is Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, free, but rather the all things, and in all, Christ.
Just like Colossians 1:16 says.
Right. For there is not Greek or Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, free, but rather all things, and in all, Christ. Jack says this, many things divide human beings into categories. The truth of God places men basically in two categories, unbelievers and believers. His desired will is that all will be of his body. Here, the progression of division follows the mind of those who might read his word, Greek and Jews, in Romans 1:16, and we're going to look at that. Circumcision and uncircumcision, Philippians 3:3, we're going to look at that. And bond or free is Galatians 3:28. We're going to look at that. That's the three places. Now, that is in the notes. It's not at the end of the notes. So we'll wait till we read the rest of the notes, and then we'll do that. The barbarians and Scythians were regarded as almost a distinct species of human beings. Their appearances and practices were regarded as beyond the mores of civilized society, or the morality, I guess. Yet within these societies were practiced heinous crimes, every bit as horrible as those which the Scythians practiced. Jack says the Scythians routinely scalped, drank blood, offered human sacrifices, even their own kinsmen. Their way of life perhaps was controlled extensively by the satanic minions. Yet, he says, in Christ, all could be one body. So there is hope for all men to be in the one body. Okay, let's go to Romans 1:16 first. Back to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16 says this, and it's on page 1663 if you have a CB. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, full stop. Look at the rest of it. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And when this was written, he says it was to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we went back one dispensation, because back then it was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Okay? Now, the second one.
You notice that in Colossians he didn't mention the Jew being first.
Huh?
I said, you notice in Colossians when he talked about Greek or Jew, he didn't mention the Greeks, or he didn't mention the Jews being first.
No, right. Okay, then we're going to go Philippians 3:3. And we spent a little time in Philippians for sure. In Philippians 3:3 says this, and Paul just got this message, and I think Philippians was the first book out of the four that was written there right along while he was in chains, is this. It says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. So this is Philippians 3:3. And then he talks about being bond or free. And Galatians, so let's turn back to Galatians 3 also and look at verse 28. And I always like to look at Jack's, the things that he points out as he goes along. And in the Word of God, because it seems like it this fills up or fills full your thoughts in your mind about what he's putting forth here. Galatians 3:3. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So, in Galatians, we realize that a lot of these fleshly things that man gets involved in, and we're not supposed to have any slaves anymore, but sometimes we're slave to our jobs and things to some extent. And it wasn't like it was back in the days of Galatians here, because Galatians is back a dispensation also. But the fact is that regardless of where we've been or what we know or what we've heard, the news now is Christ is all and in all. Here we are. Okay, how much time we got left, Ron?
9:22.
Okay, 12 is another part of this verse, and 13 too. But we'll go ahead and do this. Says, put on therefore, Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. So this is what we're to put on. We've been told what to put off, or what to mortify, or to kill, or to make dead. Now we're going to put on. Put on. Put on there gives you the understanding of take up the new master's role. Because what God has given to Paul, no man has ever heard it before in that sense. So therefore, 12, 13, and 14 verses are new identities. So this is the new identity. If you're going to put on something, it needs to be something new. Leave the lie and leave all these other things behind It says, put on as the elect or the chosen of God, holy and beloved. Beloved there is the verb for agape. It's agapeo. And that's to regard with favor, to make much of anything or person or principle with feeling. In love. Because that's the point of the feeling. If you're going to use your feelings, it should be in love. Bowels and mercy. Mercies. That's inner compassion. When you think about it a little bit here. Your inner compassion. The things that you feel in you that needs to drive you. And that is kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And long-suffering there is the effect that is seen in the exercise of love. If you exercise this agape love, you're not looking for anything in return. If it comes, it comes. If it don't, it don't. That's the way God works with us. He put it forth. It was up to us to receive it. Well, that's the way long-suffering is. You know,
it goes right on.
You can take it and take it and take it. And if it works, okay. If it don't work, you just have to suck it up and go on, I guess. But this, you know, do it in love. Seen in it, and this is part of your testimony. It's something that can't be heard, but it can be seen.
Notice that we're the elect of God now.
Seen in the exercise of love. That's a great part of one's testimony. Okay. Great part of one's testimony. There's two or three places you need to look at. Let's go back. Well, let's read it in 12. I want to get ahead of myself all the time. It says, put on, therefore, as elect of the God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. It works the same way as it comes down in the modern English. And it says this, effort must be made by the body member. He must add to the name of the elect of God. He must put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Bowels indicate that these attributes flow from the very interior of the person of the body.
Amen. Well said.
Just like we're going to be part of Christ's body. We have to be part of these things. Antidote after antidote will tell the stories of those deeply endowed, holy and beloved ones who continuously manifest these traits of being connected to the head. After all, Christ, the head, is the veritable treasure of all those and more. To list the scriptural teachings of these qualities would be nigh impossible. And it says, suffice these few. And this is what we're going to read. Acts 20:19, first. And it's on page 1634. 2019 says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And this is the Apostle Paul talking. They were after him day in, day out, on and on and on. Okay. Did that stop him? No. That didn't stop him, because we're reading the rest of the story now as we go through these last seven books here.
Yep.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Okay, we'll go by Romans and go to 1 Corinthians 13:1. And it's on page 1718. 13:1 says this. This again is Paul speaking back in a dispensation before. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I am like the things that man puts up in the wind to make music.
Just making noise.
Just to make music. Okay, let's go back. And Jack liked to shift, to make you move the book around a little bit. So let's go back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5:5. I'll get back on the right page in one turn here. Matthew 5:5 says this, and we not need to forget it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is what the kingdom of God was to inherit. And they were to also be meek. Okay? Then let's go to the other way. Let's go to the book of James. After Titus and Philemon. Or it's after Hebrews, I guess. Yeah. Let's go to James 5:7. James 5:7 says this. Be patient, therefore. That's on page 1853. Brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. I think Paul is trying to say here, all these things that we need to put on, or to take up, is to be patient with them and to use them in the respect to which they are to be used, and to remember and to realize that it's meekness, patience, and all these things that goes along with it, the long suffering.
And a lot of those traits are shared from dispensation to dispensation.
Yeah.
It's like a mark that goes through, the mark of God goes through the dispensations in the believer.
Yeah.
Regardless of the hope of the calling.
And the only thing that might change a little bit there is the way that the unbelievers look at those that are trying to deal with mankind.
That's why I say stacking all those attributes up, one dispensation to the other, and looking at the ones that are shared and the ones that are new, it'd be an interesting study.
It would.
Yeah.
It really would. And we'll stop there for this time, and we'll pick it up the next time and go on. But it's a lot of great stuff here that we need to know and understand and to enlarge our own minds with this knowledge and truth that we can share it with others who may be the ones that fill the body of Christ with that individual that it takes.
Yep.
That we might be with Him forever. Oh, what a thought. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank Amen. You for those that are here. And God bless you. And I hope you are well. If you're not well, may the Lord heal and bless. Thank you for your time.